This episode of the show is brought to you by SendPro from Pitney Bowes. They have three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. Visit pb.com/TMS to learn more and try it for free for 90 days. After that, you get SendPro for just $5 a month. That's pb.com/TMS. Again, let's see here. Okay, here we go. We got the read ready to go. Wait, is volume? Yeah, we're up. All right, here we go. I'm going to start it right this second. Coming up on TMS, thanks for the garbage burger.
That crab knows what's up.
What would you pay for Hitler's undies?
Boomboxes are coming back, whether you like it or not.
FEMA wants you to call a sexy lady.
Mm-hmm. Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And there's a dance over in Hooterville. Ooh-wee! I bet you're an armful of mama. I mean it, honey. I like big girls. You just do things to me. You carry me away.
All right.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
The Morning Stream. The
Morning Stream. I think circulation can give me those numbers, those reprint figures. I'll check with them and I'll get back to you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the Morning Stream for September 25th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ebbett in tow. Hello.
Hello. Am I being towed? I being pulled into port?
Yeah, you're like a boat. You're a fancy boat, and I have to be careful with you when I back up, or else it'll jackknife. I remember growing up, was always a problem. So my dad would pull our little boat to Lake Powell, and he would do it with a... We had a... what do you call those things? Like a Winnebago?
Station wagon?
No, like a big freaking whatever they were. Mm-hmm. And it terrified me. Like, just how he'd have to turn and cut corners, just like semi-truck people doing all that. But he seemed like it was no problem. Kim, same way. Kim can go buy like a 30-foot freaking U-Haul, and it's no big deal. I can't do it.
I can't do it either. I start overcompensating when I'm backing up to like, now I'm going the other way. Oh, no, now I'm going the other way. And before you know it, like, the thing is folded up and on top of me looking like some sort of, horse chase scene from The Electric Horseman or something.
Nice. I like how you brought it to today. It's good.
Yeah.
But I don't do it. I won't do it. So if someone wants me to drive any sort of anything considered a big rig.
Fifth wheel or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forget it. I don't even want to drive like a Ford truck. Like, I don't want anything. I don't want anything so
not
big.
Not even towing anything?
I don't want to tow anything. I don't want like a trailer back there. I don't want like anything. I want a little teeny car with me in it. That's it. Maybe another person. That's fine. We get in the car, we drive where we got to go, we do what we have to do, and we go back. We don't need to take things anyplace. Besides, the minute you have a truck, Brian, is the minute every neighbor and every friend and every person you know in your life within driving distance asks to borrow your truck every weekend.
Sure. Yeah. That's why I've got crazy neighbors. They've got a truck. We use that to haul crap, and boom.
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Where did he take that air compressor? Where was that going?
Going to another friend's house who just moved into a house and apparently had a lot of external housework that needed to be done. The house outside of the house was covered with, leaves and spider webs and stuff like that. Those little wads of spider webs full of small insects that you get like clustered around your front door and stuff.
They're awful.
It's horrendous.
I hate it. Yeah, it's gross. And it's like all gritty. It may be a Western states thing, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Dry climate thing. But anyway, so wait, they were going to pressure wash it? Is that the deal?
They were going to pressure wash the front of the house and then, and then do some.
Did I ever tell you the story? I got to tell you the story.
Sure.
All right.
A pressure wash story.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, probably 16, 17, was it my dad's or my uncle or somebody had, I don't remember who had it, but somebody had a pressure washer and we were borrowing it. And some friends were over at the house. And we were just seeing how cool it was to crank it up to max and see what you could destroy.
Because it's like, it basically at that point was like the closest you'd get to a laser weapon.
Yeah. It would cut like a laser razor, like just blast.
Yeah.
And whatever it was you aimed it at would just completely explode. So we'd take an apple outside and just obliterate it or whatever. And here's the problem, though. One of these kids thought, of course, because they're kids, thought it'd be funny if he turned the hose on his buddy. thinking, oh, this isn't going to really hurt. There's no way this is going to hurt him. So he turns it over, aimed it at his legs, and he ended up tearing like a big old like hole in his calf.
Just like a big, my gosh.
Not like straight through. Not like, you know.
Of course. Yeah, of course. No, but like.
Just like a like zipped it open. Yeah. Oh, it was
that
bad.
That hurts just thinking about it. Oh, my God.
My dad was so pissed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, good thing you weren't involved with that, Scott. That you weren't the turner or the tourney.
Yeah, I didn't have any. I my hands were clean in that deal. Mm-hmm. Not just because
well,
I pressure
so was that
busted.
Wound, apparently.
But it was so cool that thing would take. I mean, you if you held it against the cement long enough, you could break cement up with it. Like it was intense.
Yeah, such a high pressure little focused beam of of power.
That's
dang,
that's a man made innovation right there.
Dig it, dang.
Yeah, boy, get that pressure washer out and let's see what we can do to Billy's leg. all right, we come to you today bearing gifts, the gift of a new show. It's Monday and we got a whole week's worth here, so welcome. It's good to have all you live folks and people at home. And I also brought some advice that I would like to impart to the listeners and you, Brian.
It's like a PSA you're starting off with.
A little bit. In fact, one might say I should play this. Hold on. Here you go. I should play this when I talk. All right. I'm about to drop some knowledge that will help you with the more you know. Okay?
Certainly. And I have a response to this.
Oh, good. So I don't mind a good Del Taco. They're fine. It's a good alternative to Taco Bell. Sometimes their food's a little fresher. They have, you know, a more variable menu. There are times when Del Taco's fine. You just need something
quick. Holy Frijoles or whatever they're called, right? Like the, potato Olays.
Oh, right. They do have that. You're right. Mm-hmm. And they also have these new, like street taco combo things that are like two little street tacos plus rice and beans, and it's like a little platter. It's good. It's nice. You know, feels fresh and yummy and all that. Yeah. Well, I was there with the kids over the weekend because Kim was in St. George all weekend with a friend, and so I'm playing, you know, dad all weekend.
Responsible adult Del Taco for dinner.
There you go. Oh yeah, totally. And they picked it. The kids were like, "Yeah, we should go there." I'm like, doesn't sound good." And they're like, "No, Dad, promise it'll be good." So we get there, and nothing. I'm just not in the mood for like beanie taco-y things that night.
Okay, all right.
So I look at the menu and think, "Well, what alternatives does Del Taco offer?" And one of them is a burger. Called the Del, I don't know, burger. Something like
the Del,
that.
The Del Griffiths.
The Del Griffiths. Yes.
Comes with shower rings.
The Chip and Del, they call it. Oh my gosh, I want to watch that movie now. I guess it's almost time, so it'll be a good time to watch it this year. Anyway, so they have this burger. It's two patties and a bunch of cheese, and it looks fine in the photo. It's like, look at that. It's a burger, you know?
Imagine that, yeah. It takes a good picture.
Yeah, and it's the only burger on the menu. Which should be your note, not... It's like going to a burger place and getting the only taco on the menu.
Yeah, exactly my response to this. And, you know, the fact that you don't go to Jack in the Box and get a taco there.
No.
Unless you like the center of the fried tortilla to be transparent and collapse all that beef into your lap the first time you take a bite.
Yeah, that, or you're with a friend and your friend says, "Hey, do you like diarrhea?" And they say, "Yes, I do." "Oh, well, then have I got an idea for you over at the Jack in the Box. Let's go."
"You want diarrhea, Johnny? Because this is how you get diarrhea."
Right here in the drive-up. So I get this burger, and it comes to us, and we get the food and whatever, and we decide to take it back. We're going to go watch a movie and eat, you know, just have fun tonight, Saturday night. So I go back, and I have in the car this burger, and I think, wow, I'm really excited about that. And there's fries, you know.
Sure.
Get home and I eat that thing. It is the worst, and I mean worst fast food burger I've ever had in my life. And I am sorry, Del Taco, and anyone who may work for them. I otherwise think you're great, but you are meddling in things you don't understand with that burger. It is nasty. The worst, Brian.
I just can't. I can't imagine going to a taco place and not getting a specialty, right? Like, you know, hey, we make Mexican food, but for those people who really hate Mexican food and are drugged there by their family or whatever, I guess we have a burger.
Yeah. And here's the funny part is there's 15 feet away, there's a Wendy's. I could have gone there.
You could have just gone next door to the Wendy's and had an old-fashioned hamburger.
Yeah, an old-fashioned one. But the problem is they had a big line. There were like all these people, and I thought, well, I don't want to wait through that, and I don't want to go inside. I mean, who does that? What kind of maniac goes inside of a restaurant to pick up their food. So
right.
I just said, all right, fine. And I got home and I ate the whole thing, but I can't say I'm happy about it. It was not good. And Nick's over there enjoying some sort of beefy burrito, and Carter's got some kind of fish taco she's really enjoying, and I'm eating the worst fast food burger I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God. Why am I just this description, I'm visualizing the David Hasselhoff cheeseburger, infamous cheeseburger video, Scott laying on the floor. This is the worst burger I've ever had.
Yeah, except in this case, two kids, so two camera angles. And
right. There's a fancy final cut transition scene going there.
Exactly. So I'll just describe it thusly. The beef in there, if you want to call it that, was gray. It was like a gray beef.
Oh.
I don't think that's normal.
No, gray is not a color food should be. Nope. In any form.
Nope. And what else? Oh, the bun was not a good bun. It was a bad bun. Mm-hmm. And all of the trimmings or whatever the hell were all weird and not like from a fresh place.
Yeah, no.
And the cheese was not real. There's no way that was cheese. It was it was like licking a Madame Tussaud wax figure or something. There was like wax cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Real bad.
It's Costco processed cheese food.
Yeah. So here's my recommendation to everyone listening and to you: don't be like me. Be like someone else. Be like Brian. Get a taco, and that's like what you should eat. Yeah. Don't eat that. That's bad. I've experienced it for the rest of you. Let me, by proxy, be your guinea pig. And don't eat the burger at Del Taco. And you'll know the one because it's the only one.
It's the only burger. Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
It's the new Delamitri, available only at Del Taco.
I mean, I guess I kind of understand that their idea is that if somebody pulls up to the thing, and if a car full of people, four out of the five want tacos, but one doesn't like that kind of food, then there's an alternative. But if you're going to do it.
Even Taco Bell's smart enough not to offer a burger. And they used to even have the Bell Beefer, which was basically a sloppy Joe.
It had the same beef that they put in the tacos?
Yeah, it was a ground beef, and they put the red sauce, burrito red sauce on it, and they called it the Bell Beefer.
Oh my gosh.
How that name made it through marketing.
Oh yeah, who like knows?
Bell Beefer Sutherland.
Hey, y'all want a Bell Beefer? It sounds like what you have after you eat it. That's good.
Exactly. Oh, I've got the Bell Beefers.
Wow, the Bell Beefer. And didn't they have a pizza for a while or something? They had a pizza thing, didn't they?
Well,
Del Taco?
They have those hybrid KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut places.
Yeah.
And you can do the pizza there. I don't remember a Taco Bell. Oh, the Mexican pizza. Of course, the Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
That's great, actually. I mean, it's two.
They still have
it? Yeah, two fried flour tortillas with beans and sauce and stuff in between them. That's actually really good. It's hardly a pizza, though. I mean, they call it a pizza because it's round, but really what it is, it's a tostada with another tostada shell on top of it.
Right. It's the typical, let's have the same seven ingredients and mix them in different ways. I get it.
Exactly.
But do they still have that now? Is that a thing I can get now?
Yeah. You can still get the Mexican pizza. As a matter of fact, look, I'll tadpole confession here. Yeah. I have Taco Bell Tina and I together probably have Taco Bell maybe once a week.
Oh, well,
certainly.
All right. That's fine.
You know, on average, probably about once a week. Sure. And her preference is the Mexican pizza. She likes that and the taco salad.
That sounds all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want. How is it I want Taco Bell suddenly? You've done it.
Because you've. Yeah, exactly. Because you thought of those seven ingredients that they use for every single one of their food products.
Here's a commercial from that era when the Bell Beefer was a thing. This is 1978. My gosh. And here's I guess they referenced the beefers, so let's see.
Oh, it's another fresh new morning. Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Chopped and grated. Taco Bell. Put a smile on your face. Taco, taco, taco Bell.
Man, this is just singing.
I remember that jingle before the whole make a run for the border and all that stuff. Yeah.
When they had the dog. When did they have the dog? That was a while ago.
Oh, yeah. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
The Cheech. The Cheech dog.
I can't find the Bell Beefer ad. Dang it.
I don't remember Taco Bell ads specifically referencing.
That's the dumbest thing.
Taco Bell.
Don't do that around my food if you work at Taco Bell. Damn. All right. Working anyway.
Too hard gives you a heart attack. Taco Bell.
Yeah. You ought to know by now. Don't order the hamburger. Don't get the hamburger. It's bad. And I'm not talking about Taco Bell. I'm talking about anywhere that's a taco place. Don't get the hamburger. Del Taco specifically. Sure. What are you people doing? It's horrendous.
Bring a gun to a knife fight, and you don't bring and you don't get your burgers at Del Taco.
Right. And I'm guessing I'm the first person that entire day who bought one of those.
Right.
I mean,
they have a little dry erase board in the back that says number of burgers sold. One. Check it out.
Number of days. Yeah.
It said, number of days since we sold our last burger. Yeah. They just wiped it off.
It said like 482, and now it's wiped off in zero.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. And Dark Sting's right. And we said it before. We'll say it again. Don't get tacos at a burger place either. This is what
totally true.
We've learned something. Yep. Unless you're at a place that makes a lot of really great food across the board. Like, you know, you can get Tex-Mex places with amazing burgers and incredible tacos. Though that's fine. We're talking fast food, drive up, under the heat lamp business. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's where
mm-hmm.
I'm coming from. Yeah. All right. Got a cool project to announce.
Ooh, cool. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I don't have a ton of details for people, except to say that Carter and I, my daughter, decided to collaborate on a new project that will be soon coming to Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give the plot away yet because I'm so excited, but I can barely stand it. I'll probably tell you off air because I think you'll get a
cool.
kick out of it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Yeah.
But we'll have those, you know, the details of that soon. But we're going to do a children's book together. She's going to illustrate it. I'm going to write it. The truth is, she's a better illustrator than I am a writer, so I don't know how this is going to go. But we've had this amazing concept that I came up with and then went to her and said, hey, what do you think about this? And she went crazy with some concept art, and it ended up looking so cool that we're freaking out. So soon you'll have news about the actual, and this isn't Johnson pulling because I'm just not telling you the plot, but let's just say the plot is near and dear to my heart, but it's a children's book. That's all I'll say.
Mm.
Cool. And she's already done some concept work, and I've done a bunch of the writing, and so we're actually kind of close to doing this. So sometime in the next, I don't know, month or something, we'll launch that. But I thought people on the show might enjoy that.
Super cool. Oh, I can't wait to...
Lesarge.
People are suggesting that might be the Mad Max children's adaptation.
I have no comment on whether or not that is the case.
Okay.
Let's say it's not a Mad Max adaptation, but let's just say they're in the right neighborhood. We'll just say that.
See, Max, run.
That's
run,
right.
Max, run.
So we as Americans often sometimes will walk to our beautiful cities, which are sometimes clean and nice, and then we'll see something in the gutter that frightens us and makes us wonder what the hell happened there. So Brian's got this awesome story, and he's going to tell it because I don't know the details.
I got to remember to put as little information in the show notes as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened? I'm curious
about
this.
All right, so yesterday was the breast cancer walk, and it was got there 7 o'clock in the morning, did this walk 3 miles through downtown Denver and actually over the highway. It's like they block off parts of the highway, and you actually walk down the highway.
Yeah.
And so part of this takes place in one half of a clover leaf that gets on and off I-25.
Yeah.
And we came around, did a little circle around down, then crossed down the highway, and then a little circle back up to another bridge, and then came back down to Denver. And it was me and Tina and Tina's parents. And all, you know, to raise money and awareness for the Susan G. Komen Fund and breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
So trucking along and, you know, walking with the parents. And so, of course, you got to be kind of cool and not, you know, not be crass or anything. Well, as we're walking, on the side of the exit ramp, there's a grate. Like, you know, basically it rains a lot, the water goes down the grate, and this keeps it from like pooling and collecting and freezing down at the rest of the curve and causing major accidents. So you get this metal grate, and sitting this metal grate, too large to go down any of the openings of the grate,
yeah,
is what I'm going to describe as a sex toy that fits a part that both men and women have.
That's
so
almost,
not something specific.
It's almost worse. It's almost worse. I mean, I know
let's
what we're
just,
trying to do
let's
here.
Just say, yeah. Let's just say this thing was plugging up the grate, but it wouldn't go any further.
All right, now let me clarify something. You're sure it wasn't a like a discarded baby pacifier or something like that.
Oh, quite sure. This thing was large. All right. So no baby, no baby's putting this in its mouth. And there's just an unmistakable shape. I mean, it's like a weeble wobble that just happens to have a real wide flat bottom to just stick on the desk or the the table. Now, here's the best part.
Yeah.
Well, here's the first of many best parts. It's breast cancer awareness, right? And so we're all dressed in, you know, our pink and stuff to support the cause, because that's the color, the ribbons and everything like that. So everybody's in pink. You can see the photos on Facebook where we're all wearing pink. This thing just happened to be bright pink, like a big bright pink rubber device.
What's going on downtown in Denver?
And all I could think is, so we walk by it and I look down and I start laughing, and I'm walking. So Tina and her dad are a few feet in front of us, and I'm sitting there walking next to Tina's mom, and we're walking up the ramp here, and I look down, and I see that, and I can't help but start laughing. And fortunately, she didn't look over and say, "Oh, what's so funny?" Because I really honestly would have had to explain what that was and why I found it funny.
Yeah.
It also kept me from being able to pull out my phone and take a picture of it, because that would have pretty much drawn some attention to, "Oh, what are you taking a picture of there?"
Right.
Otherwise would have taken a picture of that and texted it to you within 8 seconds.
Oh, yeah,
like you would have had a photo of that in full bright color.
Yeah. And I would, of course, like, I would have held it to get the live photo thing with the audio and everything. Yes, and right. I would have heard you laughing. I mean, it would have been amazing.
Yes.
But no, exactly. But you took the better path of decorum there.
And, I did. I did. I couldn't even tell Tina, like, I couldn't even say, "Tina, did you see what was back there in the gutter?" Like, I had to wait until we were in the car driving back home and say,
I mean, I've been, you know, unfortunate enough to once in a while you run into, "Oh, there's a condom for no reason," or "there's a whatever."
Right, but right.
This is a little more, I don't know, this is up the chain, you know?
It's up the chain, and it makes you like, all right, so here's the thought. Now, this is a part of the road that, aside from this one day a year where they have the breast cancer walk, is not traveled by foot. It's always traveled by car. And so the thought is, how the heck did it get there? What's the story behind that? Did somebody say, "Oh, let me see if I've got something in the glove compartment"? As you're going around a curve, I don't even know why this, but you're going around a curve. "Oh, let me see what I have in the glove." Toss out the window. Or did somebody say, "Well, done with this," and toss it out the window? I mean, there's so many.
I know. And this, as humans,
they set it on top of their car and forgot about it until they happened to take that curve.
Right. Their wallet went down the grate, but the right. But that's so, like, this is what our brains do. We want to make a narrative around a thing we see, and unless someone tells us the story, we build our own. So now I've got like three different tales in my head. Oh, yeah. You've got a couple of them going.
Tales.
Yeah. Get it. Well, I'm glad you didn't like decide to keep it as a souvenir or something.
Oh, there's no way that I would even touch that thing, even with 4 pairs of rubber gloves on my hands. Not a chance. Not even. No thanks.
Well, yeah. So there you have it.
That thing hit the ground in bad condition, and it just got worse.
Well, you inspired me to post a terrible joke to Twitter. I just put it up. You may want to go.
Oh,
look at that.
God. Okay. Yeah, let me take a look.
I wonder how many people will think I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's kind of it, except it didn't have the curves going up.
Oh, all right. So like a little more Rough Boy brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
And Stephanie Ray says hard no. Yeah, she's not into it. My favorite thing that happened in the chat room is when you first brought it up, Stephanie Ray in California, her thing in the chat room was EEP, just EEP.
That is about the right EEP. Perfect. Perfect.
I don't know why that's so freaking funny. All right. Well, that's awesome. Yes. What else?
And then last thing to tell you about. So when we last left Thursday PM's show, I was on my way to two things. I was on my way to a Mewtwo raid for Pokemon Go, and I was on my way to trivia. I'm happy to report that we won in trivia, came in first, and our final tournament is this Thursday, and that's for all the big cash. So wish us luck there. Mewtwo raid, of course, we took it down in, you know, a minute flat. Not even that. Like, took it down really, really quick. Large group. I should post some photos of how big the group was that was there.
Yeah.
We, like, took over the front of a target with about 60 people.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so we split into Instinct, Valor, and Mystic groups so that we'd get the premium ball bonus.
Oh, I have to know, who was the biggest group? Who was it? Valor? Probably Valor.
No, actually, Mystic.
Really?
Mystic is big out here, and I probably would have joined Mystic if I just didn't like the color red so much. Favorite color is red, and so I was really happy to like, oh, there's a game where I can choose red, yellow, or blue. I'm going to choose red.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know your favorite color is red. That's good. That's cool.
Love red.
Yeah, mine's orange. I'm like you, but somebody splashed a little yellow in there.
Mm-hmm. It's like just like that.
Yeah, isn't that how it works? Red and yellow. Yeah, they make orange.
Red and yellow.
Yeah.
That's correct. Hey, honest. Through seven balls at, and you can actually go back, scroll back to Friday on Twitter. I actually posted a link to a YouTube video where you can see, I recorded it thanks to iOS 11, recorded the entire fight. I trimmed it down because it's boring sitting there watching Tyranitar go bam, bam, bam.
Freaking
bam.
Love that, though, that it does that.
I
did
do
you
too.
Did you turn? So I figured something out on that thing. If you hold down on it before you do it, it gives you an option to turn the mic on. But here's what's weird. The mic works for some things, and then in other cases, it's just that just turns on the ability for that particular game, for example, to record audio from the game.
Yeah. See, how do you know whether it's going to record the game audio or your microphone?
I think it depends on the. I think it depends on the developer. So in those cases, if I'm ever going to do like little let's plays or something from mobile stuff, I'm going to check that first. But I love that feature. It's so easy. It's a freaking piece of cake to just nab video of something. And this is the best part. My mom was struggling with something on an iPad not long ago. If I'd have had this then, you know what I would have done? I would have just gone into my iPad, turned on the control, and turned on the screen recording, done the process I wanted her to do, and then sent her the video, and I would have narrated it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm totally doing that with
Here's what you do. Open your email. Looks like that. Like I could walk her through the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Brilliant.
It's pretty cool.
Brilliant. Exactly. It'd say, just do what I do. Because it does show you what you're clicking on. Like it flashes. It doesn't like give you a little like purple finger dot like you can sometimes see on how-to videos.
Right.
But it does flash the thing that that you're clicking on, so you can see, oh, okay, he clicked on that piece of text.
Which is really cool. And if you're doing the voiceover with just regular browser.
Oh, yeah, you just say, now I'm going to click on submit, and boom, it submits it.
It's kind of great. So anyway, well done. Also, the AR stuff's badass. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know what? I played with a game called Egg Inc.
Oh, yeah. I have that one. It's good.
That is really, really cool.
I mean, I had it before when it was just normal, but then they added an AR mode, and that's really neat in there, too.
That's super cool. And then, of course, I picked up the IKEA app and started putting furniture where furniture doesn't belong.
Yep.
Kind of like what I saw in the gutter.
Yeah, there you go. I have another fun one like that you should check out called, hold on, what's the name of this thing? Housecraft?
Oh, really?
So it's the same as the IKEA app. You plop down a bunch of furniture and, carpet and couches and beds and stuff and whatever, and kind of make a room look like how you want. But then you can turn a tornado on, and the tornado just tears all your furniture up.
That's kind of funny.
It's awesome, and that one's free.
Cool. So, very cool.
Anyway, AR, man. I'm convinced AR in the hands of masses could be a huge thing. Propel it forward. Very excited. All right. We now need to do a thing.
Yes.
And that thing involves me being behind on a couple of clicks here.
Oh, we'll get to it. Jeez.
To add Brian Dunaway to the call so that we can.
I can't even stall by telling you what Stump Dunaway is brought to you by, because there's nothing today.
No, there's nothing today. So instead, I'm just going to play this. Hello, Brian Dunaway. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. Brian's here also, and he's been thinking of you. He's thinking of you all the time.
I thought of you this weekend when I passed a gutter in the highway.
Oh, thanks, man. I was in there. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Were you in there? Were you trying to coax people down there with your...
Right. Come on down. Everything floats.
It all floats down here.
It all floats. And it stinks like...
Did you see that movie, Brian? Did you see It?
Oh my, yes, I've seen It so.
Oh, that's
hard.
Right. We talked about that. Did you Ibbitt? Did you see it, Brian Ibbitt? No, you saw it.
I can't remember. Yes, sorry, I was taking a drink. Yes, I saw it 2 weekends ago. Enjoyed it tremendously.
We must have talked about this. I just
don't
remember.
Surprised.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now you've read the book, right?
Oh yeah, twice. I've read that beast two times. My gosh, what was I thinking?
Now, anyway. I think it's not a spoiler to say this is chapter one.
Right. Yes.
Chapter-ish.
chapter. No, I'd say it's a lot of it. It's just that there's.
Well, no. I mean, at the very end, we get that little message at the thing saying it.
Yeah. We're going to the kids next. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
the adults. Yeah, we get the adults next time. Sure.
And that's what I was curious about. So in the book, is there like a hard line between the first half of the book and the second half of the book where it makes sense that they do this as two movies?
No, they jump around, which is interesting. So in the book, it actually starts with adults and then dips into kids, and then there's back to adults and dips to the kids. Like, it kind of just jumps back and forth those 27 years or whatever. And it works in the book. I could see why it would not work in the movie, or as well anyway. And the idea that they're splitting this, I mean, who knows what that split is? It could be the kids again, for all I know. I don't know what they're planning. But the book does have all of this, like, it's 27 years later, guys. We're adults now. Oh shit, here comes the clown again. Like they have to deal with it again.
Here comes the clown again.
Yeah, that'll be a famous song.
Cool, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be good. And maybe they'll do the adults because those kids are all going to be post-puberty by then. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Maybe they'll wait 37 years and they'll release part two.
There you go. I'm sure none of those kids will be gangly and weird by then. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I was surprised to see the kid. So the kid in It who is kind of the...
Stranger Things.
No, well, no. I know that one of the glasses dude was in Stranger Things. Basically, the Corey Feldman of It is the kid from Stranger Things. But the hypochondriac kid, is the kid who plays young Bobby Moynihan in the new Me, Myself, and I.
Oh, really?
TV show. Yeah.
Oh. I can see.
I saw
a
commercial for that last night during Discovery.
Yeah,
and Tina's like, "Hey, that's the kid from It." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that is. That's the kid from It."
That kid's like the opposite. He's the opposite of Ralph Macchio for me because he's a kid that looks older than he is. He looks like an old face.
Right, he does. Yeah. He totally does.
Yeah,
I liked him. So, where did you watch Discovery at, Ibbot?
We watched it on terrestrial TV, but of course we will watch episode 2 on the CBS All Access app, which I already got because we did the sign up free for a month kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
if you did if you did the app to start with, doesn't that just gave you the first two, right? Isn't that the deal?
That's right. Yeah.
So you didn't.
You could watch both of them on there. I don't know. Imagine you still get commercials, but we started late, so it was great with our TiVo and terrestrial. We could just fast forward through the commercials.
Look, CBS, I'm not watching your commercials if you're making me subscribe just for Star Trek.
Well, they have two price plans. It's like the Hulu deal. So for $5 a month, you get commercials for $8.
Except it's all CBS.
No, I know. I don't think it's worth it either. I think it sucks. But I had a big argument online about this. People are like, well, you like Hulu? I'm like, yeah, Hulu has tons of content. Like, if there's a value proposition there that I can get on board with. This one's a single channel with its properties, and that's fine.
I would sign up for a Star Trek service before I would sign up for a CBS, because that's all I'm wanting.
That's all you're going there for, right? That's all I'm going there for. None of us are signing up for any other reason. What do we all
Big Brother, come on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Brian.
I did have it for Big Brother, though. But I will say this. It's one channel, but CBS... Eventually, I mean, the fact that CBS does own some other properties and some other channels hopefully means that, all right, obviously we're going to get the all the old CBS shows, all the old Tiffany Network TV shows.
Yeah. Right? Was Newhart CBS? Was that?
I think Newhart was CBS.
Were you a big Newhart fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weren't you?
Yeah, but they're on Hulu, all of them.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be things you don't get on Hulu, or at least it's going to be things that hopefully you can get.
Yeah,
you can't get anywhere else.
I think the commercial-free option on Hulu is actually a really amazing value. The CBS one is just, do I want to see commercials in Star Trek or not? And that's a weird, small version of that. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, the way it's shot, I'm probably going to be okay with that, because sometimes it's kind of weird when you have a TV show that's shot with the intentions of having commercials and then you don't have commercials. You're like,
right.
What just happened?
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like here's the cliffhangery scene right before. Put down that orange soda. Dun.
It happens in I'm watching Walking Dead season 7 finally. It's on Netflix and it happens there, but I don't mind it. It's fine. It just cuts and then you're like, oh, here it is again. I'd much rather do that than go, honeycomb's big. Yeah, for the next 30 seconds.
I wouldn't. I'd sign up for that on its own. Another thing annoys me, too. Another thing that annoys me about Hulu, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Okay, look, just give me whatever ad you want. Don't ask me what I want. Don't make me waste 10 seconds on the do you prefer this way or that
way. They don't do that anymore, do they? I haven't had it. Well, no, I don't have commercials anymore, so I guess they don't do it to me at all. But yeah, I pay for the $8 or whatever it is for commercial free Hulu, and it's like Netflix. There's no commercials at all. So it's kind of amazing. That I love because there's enough content for me to justify it.
Yep.
Anyway.
So here you go. Here's some great stuff. You can watch every episode of Caroline in the City, which surprised me because I remember that being an NBC thing.
Yeah, I do too.
Obviously, Cheers, you can see on Netflix anyway.
That was NBC as well, wasn't it? Also, they buy something?
Also on
Cheers
Hulu.
Was also NBC. Yeah. Family Ties was NBC, but it was a CBS production.
Oh, these are CBS productions. That's different.
These are all things you can watch on CBS All Access. Right. I'm still waiting to get to something that... I Love Lucy. Here you go. You can go watch I Love Lucy.
That's on Hulu. It's all on Hulu. Like, that's the whole thing. Watch. Now, maybe if they start pulling those things from other services, then maybe you got some. But right now, they're not.
Yeah, and don't give them any ideas because you could totally sue them. You could watch Medium. All 130 episodes of Medium, which is probably also on Hulu.
No.
The Odd Couple with Jack Klugman and... Hulu. What's his face?
Totally on Hulu.
This feels like, though? It feels like a backwards justification because it's like, oh, look, I have CBS All Access. Well, I got to watch something. I'm paying X dollars for it.
A little bit.
Now, have they pulled all the Star... No, they haven't pulled... It's just the Star Trek movies they keep grabbing and pulling from Netflix because you've got every... Yeah. Obviously, every Star Trek thing is going to be available on CBS All Access.
Is it though? I don't think
can't even say it.
They don't own the rights to the Paramount stuff, I don't think.
I'm looking right now at all 79 episodes of Star Trek TOS, Deep Space 974 episodes, Enterprise 98 episodes, 177 episodes of TNG, 170 episodes of Voyager.
Yeah. Do they have all the movies?
22 episodes of the animated series. I don't see any movies though. That's
the movies are all on Hulu right now.
I think that's Paramount, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that may be a Paramount controlled thing. But those are all currently on Hulu. I don't know, man. Look, if they would just if they said, Scott, for $5 a month or whatever the price bump is for no commercials, you can get Star Trek Discovery. I'd say, all right, is that what you're asking? I'll pay that. Like, I am more in the mood to do that than I am for them to feed me the rest of their bull crap.
Me too. Well,
and here's what they need to do is offer something more. If you feel like you're just getting a TV show and you're paying all this money just for one TV show because you don't care about the rest of the stuff, that's a hard pill to swallow. But if they say, hey, in addition to that, we're going to give you all the making of stuff, like all the stuff that we would normally put on like a DVD at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Here's behind the scenes stuff. Here's interviews with the cast and crew. And maybe they're already going to do this. The only thing really that I've seen that's kind of like bonus material is the Chris Hardwick style after Trek. Like basically, let's sit down and talk about what we just watched.
I'm with Scott though. I mean, it'd be like if I bought a Blu-ray copy of the latest Star Trek movie and they included like an episode of Newhart on it. I'm like, I don't want that. Why'd you even put that on there? I don't even want that.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
It's all a little weird, but I also kind of understand why they're trying to do this, and this is their way into boosting it, and they are boosting it. They'll have the best signups they've ever had for a while anyway.
Ooh, is the Love Boat on there?
I don't know.
I did not see that.
It's ABC, isn't it? I think. I think that and Fantasy Island. So sorry, Brian, you're out again on that.
I know. We have a terrestrial channel called Decades here that does nothing but like these marathons of shows like that. So if you're sitting there sick, you can just turn on Decades and just watch 12 hours of Love Boat episodes.
I was in the break room the other day and there was a group of people in there. Yeah, the break room.
Where Janice and Accounting is with their donuts. I understand. Brian, did we lose Brian? Oh, no, he's there.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. You were in the break room and what? What happened?
Oh, I was in the break room and people were talking about watching the Rockford Files. And I was like, what are you people watching?
Yeah.
Terrestrial TV. Like, okay.
People love the Rockford Files. Are you kidding? Right now, those are on Hulu as well, I believe. Never forget. Great show.
I've already forgot.
Put patches on your suit today. That's what you should do. Hey, we should stump Dunaway while we're here. Let's do this. Totally we got more Star Trek to talk about later when Daryl gets here. This is where we get to pull one of you guys in for a little contest. And today, it's going to be...
me.
Tim Lertle. Tim.
Hey!
Oh, hey, Tim Lertle. How are you?
Hey, Scott, Brian, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good, man.
Tim. Is that your real name, Tim Lertle?
No, my name's actually Zach. Tim's my World of Warcraft roleplay character name.
Right. Good old Tim on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Tim.
I like that, dude.
Oh, no. We need boar ears. Somebody needs to go get 12 boar ears and bring it back to fulfill this quest. I know. Tim will do it.
Tim will do it. Always
it's
go
a common
to
problem, yeah.
I understand. Well, it's good to have you here. Let's explain these rules, Brian Ibbett. How does it work?
Well, Tim, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is going to be a number. Brian is going to give his best guess. He's going to try real hard, but he's not going to be right. We're going to then turn to you. Oh. Actually, he might be right, honestly. If there was ever a time that Brian Dunaway could be right, it could be today. It could happen right here, people. You've tuned into the right episode of TMS to see this happen. But then, Tim, if he's not right, we're going to turn to you. We're going to ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian's guess. If you are correct today, you win a carryover prize from last week, the ED 209 Urban Pacification Unit, the RoboCop t-shirt.
Yeah.
You don't get an actual ED 209. That would be rad.
Oh.
But you also get kind of an addition to this one. You get a Death Star ice mold. You can make 4 Death Star ice cubes right there in your freezer, drop them into your whiskey, and have a Death Star time.
You can say that's no moon every time you drop one in.
Exactly.
What more could you ask for? Actually, Brian, when you said how'd you say it? Something about real hard. I can't remember what you said.
Oh yeah, try real hard.
Then I thought of this.
Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
Sorry.
Exactly why I said that.
I had to do it. All right. Well, there's the rules. Dunaway, your topic is what, Ibbett?
Your category today is the SNES, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ooh, all right. Very exciting. And more specifically, the classic, which is pre-orders are when?
Oh, it's already been gone, and mine is on the way. Should be any day now.
Oh, you bastard. I want to get one.
Really? They've already completed? Like, have they sold out of every single one of them?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
They claim they're going to keep
mine early this month.
They're going to claim they're going to keep making them. They're in stores this week is the one that it was the big deal. So people are going to, like, line up and get them at Toys R Us and stuff. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo came out and said, we're going to keep making them, so don't spend money on eBay.
Good.
Yeah.
Smart.
Anyway, the SNES Classic is set to re-release very soon, release very soon. Should have it any day. How many games are included in the new mini console?
Ooh.
And here's your hint. It is somewhere between 5 and 60. 5 and 60.
Ooh, interesting. So,
ooh.
Okay. Ooh. When I ordered this, they promised me a total of...
Uh-oh. leaving us hanging. Where'd he
did
go?
Did he get cut off or did he? 20,
is it 20? Hello?
No, you're back. You're back. You
hello,
went.
Hello?
You got cut off. You're back now. You're good.
Drama. 20 games, I believe.
Okay.
And then they also offered a Star Fox 2, which never was released. So I want to say 21.
21 games. Brian Ibbett, is 21 yes. correct?
Did I predict it or not? 21 is absolutely correct.
Woo!
Tim, yeah! we don't even need to ask you any further questions.
Yeah,
you no don't further even questions, answer. Your Honor.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to even ask. Wait, here's the theme. Good job, Brian Dunaway. You nailed it.
I went on a little longer than I was expecting.
Me too. Tim, all you got to do, if that is not really your real name, you need to send an email to briancoverville@gmail.com, and because you default one, he will send you that stuff ASAP. This also includes one bonus, and no one's told you about this yet, but if you right-click me in the, what do you call it in there?
IRC.
No,
chat?
The other thing, the...
Discord.
The Discord. Send me a private message and just say hello, and I will send you a free game key for a Steam copy of, hold on, Cave Blazers, courtesy of Terpster, who sent me a bunch of these. Cave Blazers
nice.
Will be yours for free because you got one of the lucky guest days. Well done. Congratulations.
Cool. Luck.
Watch for that soon. Luck. Well, Brian, you're a smart guy.
Well, we're
you know.
Going. We don't need luck. By the way, I need to say that this Death Star ice cube tray, courtesy of Kev Nauer's Kevin Nowers, who sent a whole box full of goodies to give away on TMS. So thank you for that. I certainly won't go through the box and take anything out of there that I'd like to keep for myself.
Of course not. Of course not. And you can reuse that, right? Once you've made your cubes, you can do more cubes, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's a silicone ice cube tray, so you can make as many Death Star cubes as you like.
Yeah, silicone lasts forever. Am I right, booby ladies? Woo! Okay, Brian Dunaway, it's always a pleasure.
Booby ladies.
Booby ladies.
Booby slave.
Ooh, that was weird. That felt like retro that you just did that.
It totally did. Like, it felt like you were pressing a button on your soundboard.
Let's see. Do I have that handy? Where is that? Booby slave. Nope, I don't. Not handy anymore.
Wow, really?
Well,
you don't need it.
I have
Booby
it.
Booby slave.
I have it. It's right here. Here, wink. Here it is. I found it. Here you go.
Booby slave.
That's it. Just like today. It sounds just like today.
Booby slave.
All right. Anyway. Hey, Booby Slave, where can people find you on the internet? Or what's cool right now for you? What are you doing?
Oh, follow me at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. We were supposed to do a boop show. We didn't make it.
No.
But last week we played Duck Game. That was
So much fun. In fact, you can see that soon. I'm going to put that all up on YouTube, but I haven't yet. But we did a live stream of it. The VOD's still up on twitch.tv/frogpants. And Brian and I played Duck Game. Oh, only part of it, I guess, because our connection pooped out Twitch or something. Twitch was garbage that day. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But we did. We did. Oh,
it was so much fun.
I recorded it, so it's all on YouTube, will be. I'll put it up. I'm not making any sense. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. Brian Dunaway at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later. All right. We're going to have a very, very quick news section. Here you go. Brian, who's the news brought to us by?
News is brought to you today by Soundography, which you can find at soundography.com. Today, brand new episode just dropped on the feed. Hammond and I listened to an entire week of Primus. Yes, everything that Primus has released from the first EP to the... Well, to the single that's been released from the brand new album, or at least the teasers that have been released from brand new album. We listen to the whole damn thing and we talk about it. Primus on today's episode of Soundography. Soundography.com.
So we got Jerry was a race car driver.
Say, baby, do you want to lay down with me?
Yep.
Say, baby, do you want to lay down?
Uh-huh. What else?
And something that went like, that's all I know.
That's about it. Yeah.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was part of the. It was the guitarist. It was part of the. No, Rage Against the Machine guitarist. Tom, what's his name?
Morello. Tom Morello.
Morello and Chris Cornell did Audio Slave together, is who I'm thinking of.
Yes. Okay. Correct. But, and why am I blanking on Primus's, the main dude's name? Why am I forgetting his name? Oh my God.
Jerry.
No, not Jerry. Main dude. Anyway, he auditioned once. He's friends with school time friends with one of the guys from Metallica, and actually Les Claypool, thank you. And actually auditioned to be their bassist when one of their bassists dropped out. And can you imagine what Metallica would have sounded like if Les Claypool were part of the band?
Well,
a completely different band.
The documentary I watched, I think he was because they fired that other guy, right? Or didn't he die or something? What was the deal there? Somebody died.
I think he fired. They fired him, didn't they?
Fired him because he was drinking all the time or was always stoned or
something like that.
But anyway, then they said that they didn't hire Les Claypool, or he said in his own words in this documentary, because they told him that they would be ruining his career. In other words, he needed to do his weird special thing.
Oh, really? Okay. And it was Cliff Burton, according to Gutter as a Tool, and he did die.
Oh, he did die. Okay. I couldn't remember. Yeah. It was something like that.
He was downloading songs on Napster, and Lars Ulrich killed him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was some kind of bus accident or something, or am I thinking of a different... Oh, yeah. First base...
bus accident, yeah.
Original bassist died. Second bassist quit. Now they got that guy that looks like he could kill me. That's scary as hell. It's supposed to be really
Kirk,
nice, though. Guy before him was pretty scary too. Jason Newsted. That's the guy who quit the band.
Right.
He quit the band. New guy. Who's new guy, chat? He's not that new now. He's been around for a while. And they like him, seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Trujillo. Okay. He's awesome. That guy's cool. He looks like he could murder me. let's get to it here. Just a quick one. Crab climbed out of a pot and switched off the hot plate.
I love it.
Yeah.
You don't even need a story behind this.
I got video.
Crab
too.
Says nope.
Yeah, they actually taped it, which is great.
Oh, there's video of it?
Yeah, so look at these crabs. They're freaking out. That one hops out.
So wait a minute.
And turns it off.
they decide to just be dicks and like record these crabs like.
Yeah, while they're dying, while they're hissing their final deaths.
Oh my god, that's so.
Well, you know.
It's like watching torture. It's like crab torture.
A little bit. Oh, look at him go down. He just literally turns it off. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
I mean, you'll eat the crab. You just don't want to see how it's made. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
I don't want to see. I hate seeing live crabs put into like a pot of boiling water or things like that. Because, I mean, I know when I'm eating it. That is what's happening.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And I know it's, okay, thank you, Dice Tomato. That's how you cook soft-shell crabs and Jester Woot and all you people in the chat room. It's like, all right, yes, I know where my food comes from.
Yeah.
But the fact that this person is video recording it is creepy and torture porn. It's basically, cook it, don't film it.
Yeah.
I don't need to see these crabs like, oh, ow, oh, ow, oh my god, oh, we're about to die. Hey, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah. You know, Brian doesn't
regardless of one of them climbing out.
You don't want to see how the sausage is made, I understand.
That's right. Well, yeah. I just don't think it's right that you videotape it unless you're borderline serial killer.
Well, what if you're just documenting it? What if you're just like, here's how what? I made these?
Oh, okay, like this is a cooking video?
Yeah. What if it's that?
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe.
I'll give you that.
That's okay. They're deaf.
I don't even think Rachel Ray would like, all right, today we're going to be making crab rangoons, and I'm going to show you how we do it. And she'd say, all right, well, we've got these crabs that we've already cooked backstage, so I'm bringing them forward.
Yeah. This is a bad Rachel Ray impression, by the
That's
way.
That's a really bad Rachel Ray impersonation.
Yeah. I haven't heard very many, but of the ones I've heard.
Not one I'm going to be workshopping and adding to my repertoire.
Nope. A pair of Adolf Hitler's underpants got auctioned here in the United States. Yeah, guess how much his whitey tighties go for? $9! No, just kidding. Not $9. They fetched a lot more than that. $9,200 at auction. The as described, surprisingly large underwear, which have a 39-inch waist and are initialed AH for Adolf Hitler on them, were left behind.
He initialed. I don't want anybody else to put on my underwear.
These are mine. I found them at Neiman Marcus.
Hessman, leave my underwear alone.
Where is Himmler? He is wearing my underwear again. Piece of shit. Piece of shit. Anyway, they auctioned these off. the seller was the grandson of the hotel owners who found them. We've sold underwear belonging to Eva Braun, who was Hitler's wife before, but never anything belonging to Hitler himself. I think this is the first pair to come to market. They were retained in the family who owned the hotel. That's weird. They were retained in the family who owned the hotel. It's a weird way to say that, which is very prestigious for almost 80 years.
Retained in the family.
Yeah. Do not let the Hitler underwear go. Anyway, that's as close as you're gonna get to Adolf Hitler. You could probably, if I bought these and I spent $9,200, guess what I'd do? I'd put those babies on at least once. Oh yeah, hell yeah. Are you kidding? I'm not spending nearly $10,000 on a pair of underwear that I haven't worn at least one time, and I don't mean all day. I mean I want to put those on, strut around, take a selfie, and then I'm done.
And just like basically put on Twitter, hey, I just put on Adolf Hitler's underwear, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would hang it up in some kind of thing and saying this was Hitler's underwear. I mean, I'm not celebrating the man. I just want to strut around in Hitler's pants.
It's a different thing than putting your hands in somebody's handprints at Grauman's Chinese Theater. It's like I'm putting on somebody else's. I don't care if it's Marilyn Monroe's underwear or Bill Nye the Science Guy's underwear. I'm not putting it on just to say I was in so-and-so's underwear.
Well, just I want people to know. Like I'd say, yeah, I spent. It's because of the money. If it was like $5, no way I'd do it. I just put it on
glass.
Well, sure.
I mean, nobody's going to buy it. Right. I mean, you're not going to. We're not going to buy this, obviously, because of the money, but we don't care about owning a pair of Adolf Hitler underwear. But
you just know he had a little shriveled up little micro wiener. There's nothing. Anyway, there's that. Hey, 70s boom boxes are coming back. That is if you believe in Japan.
I believe in Japan. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah, you've been there. Along with vinyl's recent resurgence, another throwback from the 70s is gaining popularity in the digital age. It is the boom box portable music player. With radio cassette players, most of that stuff's getting viewed with more nostalgia now. They represent something new and fresh to young people, even if the machines themselves are considered dinosaurs. So basically, they're selling this big, heavy, dumb, put it on your shoulder, walk through town looking.
Nice. Thing. I'm looking at the photo right now of these guys checking out a radio cassette player expo. You know, the first person that comes out with a boombox that basically plays MP3s, right? You just USB it to your computer and download your music to that or whatever.
Yeah.
But has a cassette looking mechanism in there that basically just rotates the two little reels and makes it look like it's a cassette playing.
Mm.
That's going to be your million seller.
I'd do that.
Totally. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're listening to an MP3, you're listening to a play digital music, but it's going to have those two little rotating spindles with the thing.
I'm guessing those are, awesome. I'd be shocked if that's what not, but most of these, probably
if somebody hasn't already created it.
Well, I'm bet most of these have some digital component. In fact, let's see. I'm going to go down.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but the digital component, while it's playing your Katy Perry MP3, it's not like rotating the little cassette spindles.
No. I agree with that. Maybe what they do is, see, that's a really good idea, Brian. Actually, I think I'm on board. That's the one I would buy.
You would totally buy that because it's kind of retro, and you'd set that in the corner, like while you've got a party going on, and be playing music from it, and people look over and say, whoa, are you playing Lady Gaga from a cassette?
Yeah.
I've got to go back. We're filming another Matrix movie.
Yeah. And Chad, when we're not talking about an app, we mean like a physical moving parts.
Right.
Like little, exactly.
Little
rotary things.
And it plays your MP3, but it's an actual physical couple of spindles turning.
And a little window where you would have slotted in the tape. You know,
exactly.
And it just looks like they're in there rotating, and it looks like there's tape moving. I'm telling you, that would be a huge seller. It would totally, absolutely
there
would.
There we go. Now you're on board.
Yep, I'm totally on board. Tell me about your Kickstarter and where I can find it.
Exactly.
Wait, you know what? This would be a great... Hey, Bill Duran, are you listening? Make one of these.
Oh, yeah. Totally could do that.
Yeah, just little LEDs for some of it and a little tape rotary deal there. You could do
it. God, that'd be a piece of cake. Basically, just cut the tape.
Yeah.
So just have a real cassette in there that's getting turned with a little motor.
Mm-hmm. Every time it's got the speaker power... You know that's when it needs to turn on. It's a simple on and off binary deal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this.
Pops and reclines says, yeah, Bill's not busy or anything.
He's not. What's he doing? Swords and shit? Come on. Get to the real stuff,
exactly.
Bill.
Exactly.
We'll talk to him tomorrow. We'll talk him into it. Final story before we take a break. Hurricane victims called a sex hotline after FEMA mistakenly tweeted the wrong number. Well done, FEMA. Several Hurricane Irma victims called 1-800 number for help and were offered phone sex instead of hurricane relief. The Miami Herald reported that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Region 4 office, they accidentally tweeted the number out, which was a 188 number instead of a 1-800 number. Or no, it was supposed to be 188. That's what it was.
The good news is Ted Cruz liked it.
Yeah, of course he did. But then he said his staff did. Because he's a liar. Welcome to America's hottest talk line. Guys, hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 1 to connect free now, said the recording. The original tweet has since been deleted and reposted with the right number. So, there you go. it's some kind of relief. Thanks, chat room. You're the best. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's Trek Nerd. We're going to see his impressions. We're going to try to keep this spoiler free. I didn't watch it yet because I haven't had time. I'm going to watch it today. Sometime between now and my next thing. But Star Trek, we're talking about Discovery. It's a big deal. It's a Trek Nerd segment. Mm-hmm. So come on back for that. Before that, though, musical treatment, please.
I will provide to you some musical treatment from our Indie in the Middle artist coming to us from Dalarna, Sweden. It's a musician, a singer named Hannah Turi. She's loved music since childhood. At 9, she started recording her own songs and even put them out on her album called Some Old Tapes, was released, well, not really an album, probably a digital thing, released in 2011.
Yeah.
Toured in the U.S. As well as appeared at South by Southwest. She's getting a little bit more into electronic music, and you're going to hear that on this song right here. This is a brand new single that she's released. It's called Four Leaf Clover. I think you're going to hear some frou-frou and some Imogen Heap in this. I certainly do. Here is Hannah Turi and Four Leaf Clover.
All right, we'll see you guys in a sec.
Chasing a shoulder you could hold on to, something to fix it. catch up all the resolutions. Tinder in the dark.
Thank Pitney Bowes and SendPro for their sponsorship these last few months and for all they've done to help make the podcast possible. We want to thank you for supporting them and signing up for SendPro. Because when you support our sponsors, you're really supporting us. SendPro is indeed three times the features of stamps.com at one-third the price. Seriously, why would anyone pay $15.99 a month for stamps when you can get Pitney Bowes SendPro for only $5 a month? SendPro not only allows you to print U.S. postage at home, saving you trips to the post office, but you can also compare rates and print prepaid shipping labels for other major carriers as well. You'll also save money because Pitney Bowes gets you discounted rates on postage and shipping. Go to pb.com/TMS to take advantage of this offer while you still can. We don't know how much longer this $5 a month deal will last. But the good news is, or the good news, is that if you sign up right now, you'll get that special discounted rate for a lifetime of your account. That is the entire lifetime of your account with SendPro and Pitney Bowes. That's pb.com/TMS. And big thanks again to Pitney Bowes and SendPro.
Mego presents the Star Trek action figures featuring the crew of the Enterprise, Captain James T. Kirk, their fearless leader, Dr. Bones McCoy, caring for the health of the Enterprise crew, Scotty, the chief engineer, in charge of the transporter room, Mr. Spock, the Vulcan.
Bonjour, Mademoiselle Jean.
This is the morning stream.
Ah, why is it doing that? Hold on.
This is the morning stream. Is it over yet?
Get rest, Martha.
What the hell happened there? There's no reason they should have played. I don't know what happened. Total bug. Bug report. Hey, what's going on, everybody? That song was cool.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, seems like she has a bright future for herself.
Hannah Turi, H-A-N-N-A-T-U-R-I. Get her music wherever finest music can be found.
Did you watch any football yesterday? Any of the games?
Very little. Some of the Bronco game, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was curious if you saw any of the hoo-ha from all the Trumpy.
I did see all that on the news last night and this morning. Holy cow.
Pretty stupid.
It is pretty stupid.
The whole thing is real dumb.
I just like, and I'm, you know, this will be all I say about Sir Trump's a lot, but I do like how whenever he really thinks he's going to make a dig at somebody, mm-hmm. it's always about ratings.
Yeah.
Like, NFL ratings are lowest they've ever been in 11 years.
Which is bullshit. First of all, bullshit. Second of all, that's dumb because sometimes he says it with stuff that has nothing, that has no ratings. I know that does. Right. But like,
but it's just, you know, it's like, it's basically like a little kid who only knows calling somebody stupid face.
Yeah.
Right. Is like the only insult they know.
Yeah. And that's what... It's so lame. I freaking hate it. Also, I have other issues, anyway. But I'll talk about those later.
Yeah.
At a later date. A later date.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get old Daryl all up in this biznatch. And here's today's theme.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Oh, goody. Everybody, step right up and check it out. It's Daryl Skeels. He's our Trek nerd. And here we are, not 24 hours after the premiere of Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access. Daryl, hello.
Hello.
Did you guys do like a live stream thing or something? There was something going on last
night. Oh,
yeah.
Live watch along? Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, well, no, not watch along. Right after the show, we talked about it.
Yeah. Cool. And let's get into it. Okay. So here's the deal. That thing finally happened. It finally came after much delay and ballyhoo and hoo ha. They had showrunner leave, who we're all excited about. Now they got new people. And then we saw things that got us excited and heard things that made us worry. And then it got delayed again. But then here it is on television and this service thing. Brian, you've seen the first of two.
Right. I haven't watched the second one. We're going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. I'm watching both today because I haven't had no other time to do it. Yesterday was a nightmare, sure. So I didn't get it done yesterday. However, was there a raid last night? That's the other thing I missed.
There was. Yeah. We basically finished up everything else in Tomb.
Yeah. I should have done that. Anyway, I couldn't. I was somewhere. Anyway, the point is, Daryl, you're here, and you're going to tell us what you thought. I guess I'm putting off the inevitable here. What did Daryl Skeels, the world's biggest Star Trek nerd of all time, mm-hmm. think of this new effort?
I thought it was okay.
So you're kind of mad. Right. Didn't love it, just sort of like, well, I guess we'll see where it goes from here. Actually, you know what? Let me ask you a question. This is something that's been on my mind all morning watching all these reactions, okay? Some people loved it. Some people really didn't like it. And then there's some in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like with everything, you know, there's always the extreme opinions. But what occurred to me is we are at the beginning of what is a first season of Star Trek. And I would like to point everybody's brains back in time to every first season of Star Trek there ever was.
Not just first season, but first episode. Like, yeah, look back at Encounter at Farpoint. You may hold it in high regard.
Yeah,
but if you go back bad. And watch it.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
And that whole first season, kind of bad. Like, yeah. TNG first season is not their best work by any stretch. So I just want to remind Trek fans specifically, relax a little bit. If you didn't like it, give it some time. I hated Farpoint when I saw it in the 88 or 9 or whatever.
Oh, did you really?
Wow. Yeah, I really did. I thought, this isn't Star Trek. This is nothing like Star Trek to me. And then it grew on me to the point that it's my favorite thing ever. So, you know, you gotta let these things ease in. So, Daryl, I am happy to hear that you're not like in the hate camp for whatever reason. I guess that makes me feel better about it, generally speaking. But,
and I don't think either one of us are surprised that you're not in the love it camp.
Yeah, probably not. But I heard like
you're the grumpiest person we know.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Good point, Brian. But like Tom Merritt loved it, and you came in and said, "Well, it's good, except it's missing Trekkiness." Now, I want you to explain that. What do you think's mm-hmm. missing? What's missing?
Well, so far it hasn't even really started yet. This is mm-hmm. just an intro kind of couple of shows. So be open and give it a chance because they haven't really. I mean, they just started the engine. The wheels aren't even really turning yet.
Mm. They're establishing everything, which always takes time and takes away from plot movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was high on production value,
which is good.
It's not everything.
No, mm-hmm. it's not definitely not everything, but I think it is important these days. I don't know if you could do it without it. You got to have something that looks good.
Yeah, there's lasers and fighting.
I mean, if all you have was like carpeted walls and... You know, nobody would be into that. So you got to go more than that. So I understand that there's middle ground there.
Yeah.
Did you, I mean, character-wise, how are you feeling about everybody?
I'm fine. The bird human.
Him. Bird him.
Yeah. Burnham was kind of having a problem there.
You know what you would be. You
is
know
there somebody
be...
standing above you in your office right now, by chance?
That is so funny. You should work for the Today Show or something and review TV shows. Because I can just imagine
wait
the camera
twice
on
if
him.
You're okay.
Yeah. Imagine a camera on Daryl and I don't know who else sitting around. Who's on the Today Show now? I guess. Anyway, all those people are all sitting around waiting for his big review of Star Trek. And the first words out of his mouth is, "There's something wrong with the Burnham lady." Oh, that's the best. All right, anyway. But okay, I was watching Walking Dead Season 7, and every time I see her, I go, well, something's going to happen to you. Because all I can think of is that she's in the Star Trek thing, and she can't be doing two of these shows. There's no way.
Something needs to get her out of her Walking Dead contract, right?
Yeah, gosh, I can't imagine what it might be. Maybe her character will die of some sort of horrible zombie and or human thing in Walking Dead. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know. It's not a spoiler. I don't know. But the point is that drove me nuts the whole time. But I keep hearing she's the high point of this. Like, she's a really interesting character, and she's going to drive things forward. Do you not agree, mm-hmm. Daryl?
Oh, I agree. In the future, yes. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not going to do spoilers. But a thing happens that seems strange. But
seems, yeah. I know what you're saying. Like, not necessarily something you'd see in Starfleet is what you're thinking, right?
Yeah, or from someone who has trained on
the
Vulcan.
The background that they have. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Sarek deal. Something going on with him. Is that what's happening?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, no. tangential to that. I kind of okay. So I'm going to throw my opinion in here too. I enjoyed it, I think, a little bit more than you. I'm not raving about it, but I think that obviously it's still finding its legs, and I haven't even seen the second episode. So there's more progression that needs to happen. I was a little irritated by the opening, the dirt planet opening.
Oh. All right.
I like that.
I like Dirt
I really
Planets.
Like that.
Oh no.
I liked what they did down there. But I don't like the method used to get them off of there.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, you mean the ship?
Not the ship so much as how they got off. Like what the method that they used to get off of that planet.
Magic carpet ride. No?
Right.
Okay.
Because I loved what, like, that totally is Trek to me. Like what they did down on that planet, what they were supposed to do, and even seeing something for once in a Star Trek show that's not just like humanoid with rubber implants on the bridge of their nose and something sticking out of their forehead.
Yeah, right. That's what I wished for. I wished for the CGI alien. I got exactly what I wanted.
Oh, and I saw that they have some of that in the preview of that creature. It looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like more Star Wars than Star Trek in a way.
Right. Okay. Dice Tomatoes saying, just spoil it. It's not a big plot point. Okay. I will say it's.
Well, I like that Dice Tomato. Dice Tomato is the only vote you need to go ahead and spoil a thing. It's like, I don't want to spoil it. I want to spoil it. Sorry, Dice Tomato said to do it. Let's do it.
I think
he is sci-fi.
You wouldn't do something like that and somebody with you have no idea what you're doing, because they'd be asking you, why did we just do that?
Interesting.
Okay. That's all I'm gonna say.
All right, I'm gonna watch it and try to, you know, try to see where I'm at. I want so badly. I don't need everything to be blow me away out of the gate, and I think we have a weird expectation for that these days, and so it doesn't need to do that. What it needs to do is be strong over the long haul. So here's my big question, Daryl. Does it, and Brian, you can answer this too, obviously, because you've both seen it. Do you feel like this is going to be Star Trek proper in that they're not going to worry? I mean, all the Star Treks have had some kind of overarching storyline, like Data's emotions or freaking Voyager was, how are we getting home? We got to get out of this
tension,
damn Delta Quadrant.
Right, tension with the Romulans or whatever.
Sure. On Deep Space Nine, it was, you know, the Cardassian threat would keep coming up. But for the most part, Star Trek has always been best when it is a... not villain of the week, but a problem of the week scenario. So this week, we've run into Star Map 52, and inside of there is a monkey with five brains. What are we going to do? Like, I want that out of Star Trek. Not, I don't need it to be Breaking Bad or any modern post Lost show where every episode is connected to the last. It'd be nice if there were some standalones. So, what's your prediction in that regard?
You're going to get that, but you're not going to get it watching Discovery. You're going to get it watching the Orville.
Oh, I think you will get it, though. You think so
with Discovery? No way.
It's going to be a kind of a combination of things. It's going to be the Klingon War is the underlying thing, but then I think there's also going to be other stuff in there, too. Because okay. We know Harry Mudd shows up.
Yeah,
well, this is true. I feel like this, what we're seeing, and I absolutely love this aspect of it, it feels like 80% Star Trek. No, it feels like 60% Star Trek with 40% BSG, Battlestar Galactica, thrown in.
Well, I'm down with that. I like that tone. So,
and I really, really liked that aspect of it. I'm curious to see how it continues, because I don't think we're going to get a problem discovered in the first 10 minutes, problem resolved in the last five, people back to playing poker, kind of thing.
I kind of hope they do, though. I want more of that. I like that.
You'll get that. You can get that with the Orville, and I think you'll be happy with the amount of that you get with the Orville. By the way, did you notice with the Orville? I didn't notice it until the most recent episode that Brandon Braga is directing.
Yeah, the ex-Star Trek guy. Yeah,
totally. I love it, and it feels like it. It totally feels like it.
Hmm. And each episode's getting better than the last.
Yes, I would totally agree with that as well, for sure.
I keep hearing that show gets better. Then I've heard some say it's a complete nightmare and Discovery's awesome. Then I heard somebody else say, forget Discovery, watch the Orville. Like, everybody.
I'm enjoying both. I'm enjoying both, and I'm getting two different things from each of them, and I couldn't be happier with that.
Oh, so wait, let's slow this down. Let's put this in writing. Are you saying it's possible for us as as nerds and connoisseurs of genre television, film, and books and whatever, to like two things at the same time? Is that what you're saying?
Stop the presses. You can like Star Trek and Star Wars and be okay with that.
Do you mean that I can be upset about the state of racial affairs in this country and be excited about Star Wars coming in a couple of months? Is that what you're saying?
You absolutely can. Isn't that amazing?
So two diverse thoughts in my head at once, that I can have an opinion on one and another at the same time. Is that really what you're saying to me?
With one exception, you can't be excited about the Young Sheldon show on CBS. There's no possible way that anyone can possibly be excited about the Young Sheldon show on CBS.
Yeah, I used to think the only absolute was there are no absolutes, but you've proven one. That Young Sheldon show looks like garbage poo, and I have no interest at all in that.
Can I say one more thing too?
Gosh, why?
I like the fact that Klingons speak in small caps, and I can't wait until they encounter a race that speaks in italics.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing I heard, is it's all subtitles for the Klingons. No talking. Okay, no universal translator, eh? Doesn't work.
No universal language thing yet.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't quite like that much, because I had to just stare at the screen and read the whole time.
What, you don't like? Don't you want to know what CeeLo is saying? You got to hear it. You got to read, right?
Well, yeah, but there's kids running around.
I had to read.
There's kids running around distracting me, and I gotta say stuff on Twitter once in a while.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So I gotta look down.
Yeah, you can't have subtitles interfering.
And they're talking really slow too. It's like these are the slow Klingons. It's like they studied the language super, super well, and they were very careful to pronounce everything perfect to not piss off the fans.
Yeah.
The new Klingon.
No, I'm with you. I just think is the story that Star Trek has, or the Starfleet, or whoever, hasn't invented the universal translator yet, or is that not the deal?
Well, we spend some time on a Klingon vessel, and they would speak Klingon on a Klingon vessel, and they wouldn't have universal translators explaining what they're saying in English.
Okay. In a way, I kind of like that, because it's, I don't know, it's more realistic. Like, the universal translator in general is no better than that Babelfish thing in Hitchhiker's Guide. Because it's just like, oh, hey, we need a quick fix.
Hand-waving magic.
Yeah, we need a quick fix where everyone looks like they're talking English. It's really kind of a dumb conceit in the first place, so I think I'm okay with that. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with aliens speaking English. So what if it's not realistic? It's more watchable when you know what they're saying, and you don't have to pay attention.
So
isn't that a similar argument to, I don't like the fact that they seem to have better technology now than they did in a series that's supposed to take place afterwards. Yeah. Like, can you be okay with one and not the other?
I don't really like that either.
So all right, no, it's fine. It's the contradictions abound. So here's the big question: is it weekly until it's done for the season, or are we getting breaks, or is it mid season?
Yes, there's a mid season break.
Damn it!
Seriously, so they're gonna make us pay for months where we maybe get one episode.
This is why I want to do the math on it, and I don't know if Amazon or iTunes are getting these episodes day after like they would with any other CBS show. Mm-hmm. If they are, I want to do the math and figure out if it's cheaper for me to buy the season through Amazon or somebody and watch it that way, or subscribe, or wait till it's all done and then binge it on the app during the free trial. Like, there's about three different math equations I got to figure out which one's going to be the best. Yeah. Now, I don't want to wait. That's the thing. So for me, the choices are either the app or the freaking Amazon or iTunes thing. If they're not doing that there, then the app's my only choice, and then what are you going to do?
Well, I think there's no better way to speak with your wallet than to pay for the months where you get four episodes, and then as soon as they have, all right, tune in next time, we're going to take a month break, and we'll see you on December 18th for the next episode. Guess what? I'm canceling my subscription. I'll pick it back up when things start back up again.
Yeah.
And they'll see it more immediately than people not buying the whole thing and waiting until the end.
Here's what I think we should do. We should make Daryl watch Narcos season 1 through 3.
And I watched a few episodes of that.
That show's great, but it's all subtitles all day long that thing.
Oh, yeah.
So enjoy that. All right. Well, moving on.
Or make him watch Peaky Blinders, where you kind of have to have the subtitles on to understand what Tommy is saying about those guns.
Sure. You said that there was the title sequence reminds you of Westworld. Tell me in what way, because I haven't actually seen it yet. Is it a?
Oh yeah, it's very like draft board.
Yeah,
animated draft.
That sounds awesome.
Type stuff.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, and the music fits it well, and all that. It's good.
Well, the music has Trek pieces in it, but it seems very generic for this time of, you know, the trend of music. Mm-hmm. Today it seems very much like that.
Well, they had to be safe because it's been a long road. But here's the here's my other problem, or my question, I guess. When they do that in the beginning and they don't have a ship out in space flying around until the very end of it, I assume that's okay, right? Because we do that every time. Like, we don't need to have just another ship aimlessly flying somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't care about that. In fact, on Netflix, I like the shows where it says skip intro, and you can just click it and be done.
I do like that. I like the aspect of this. I think it does a better job than Enterprise did in the opening visuals.
That's we'll all
put
you
the
have
music
to say.
Aside for right now. But the opening visuals, I think it does a better job of establishing this is the formation and the creation of everything that is to come. Like, you see things come together that are already established in future shows or in shows that take place after this. And I kind of like that. I really do like that.
You know that opening, the opening to The Pacific? Do you remember that? Did you see The Pacific?
I did
HBO?
Not see The Pacific.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, that opening is a lot like this, where it's like charcoal on paper and, you know, like they're designing something almost.
Yeah.
I really like that kind of thing. So what you've described to me, having not seen it yet, sounds great. I'm all
Yeah, that's okay. And you can look out there on YouTube and you can see that separate from the show. So you don't have to watch the show to see
it. I would assume so. And if you guys haven't seen the specific one, you should check it out. It's really good. Yeah.
And do we know, is Michael Giacchino involved with the music? Do we know?
I don't think so. No.
He's not? Okay. It's funny because there were times that it felt like it had a very Michael Giacchino kind of feel to it.
It's the guy that did the theme for Fargo.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Wait, which? The TV themes? Yeah. The TV adaptation of Fargo? That's interesting because because in Fargo, the theme is notable because it does take from the 96 movie and tweak it in a way that feels new but also reminiscent. That's kind of what this is.
Yeah,
like it's a little Star Trek-y but also new, but whatever. That's great. I want if David Thewlis could be on Star Trek, then my day would be made.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And just have him be Vargas. I don't care. Interspace
totally
Vargas.
Totally fine. Continuity be damned. Let him be Vargas.
Freaking Vargas.
Everything ever in the future of Thulis.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch Harry Potter 3 and just pretend he's Vargas. Anyway.
Kicking at his teeth like as he's talking, Harry.
Do you have any food I can eat really quickly and then puke up in the bathroom?
And vomit.
Vomit up next to Moaning Myrtle.
I missed that show already. All right. What else is going on, Daryl? Anything else you want to mention about this?
Something that the producer, Ted Sullivan, said makes me feel very positive about things to come. He said, and this is a quote, it would be real nice to tell new stories and keep going places where no one has gone before as opposed to revisiting things.
Yeah, I like that.
And that was a huge worry of mine. I'm glad he said that.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a comma but after it. It would be really nice to do this, but we're not going to.
Yeah. But the none of my partners will let me.
CBS is required that we have at least one Tribble episode, one, you know, Harry Mudd episode.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that is good. And if this thing goes well for the subscription thing, and if it's, I mean, I think I'm going to like it. I already like everything I've seen leading up to it. So I'm fine. I'm not going to be a hater already. I'm not going to be one of these weenies. We're done with weenies on the internet. Internet weenies, we're done. Okay? Pack up your shit and go home. Enjoy a thing or don't. Quit telling me about it. Except us. When we're on the show, we like to tell you about it. I contradicted myself.
Try and find the time, Scott, to watch. You're going to watch both episodes, which is great. See if you can squeeze in an Orville in there as well, just so you can see
is that what you found on the street in Denver?
The tacos and the burger from your Del Taco and see what you think.
Squeezing in the Orville is what you did down in downtown Denver at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody squeezed in the Orville and then threw it out of their car.
Yeah, sounds about right. All right, Daryl, we'll keep close tabs on you obviously every Monday and talk about what's happening in the world of Star Trek Discovery. And weirdly, the Orville will make its way into our conversations as well. I still haven't watched it. I'm 3 episodes behind. Gotta watch it.
Got to.
You can do it. You can make it. Been busy.
All right. That's it. Daryl Skeels. He's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Check out his show, or catch it, I suppose, called This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, where they talk about this episode at length, is my thinking.
Yes.
Daryl Skeels, take it easy, have fun, and
Gaga.
Okay, he's out. Hey, quick email to end things here.
Yes, sir.
People at home, you don't know this, but where we have our kind of end of show stuff where I can put emails or reminders or whatever.
I like this. It closes out the show with kind of what I really enjoy about the beginning of the show, which is kind of our little free form. Mm-hmm. How you doing? How was your weekend?
Yeah, it's like an idiot
sandwich. Did you find any sexual devices in the car?
Any baby pacifiers? Anyway, we call this End Times. That's the header in here. We don't call it that on the show, but it's for Brian and I. End Times. Oh, hey, the world didn't end Saturday. Did you notice?
Right. I did notice, which means I have to send my phone back. So here you go. AT&T, you're getting this back.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay, you buttholes. Jeez. I got to do that when that gets here. Mine's here today or tomorrow.
You still haven't gotten yours? Oh, I thought you got yours already. No,
today or tomorrow, I think. Because I ordered it the next day and it delayed it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Here's an email from Stan. Stan wrote in, says this. Day one TMS listener here. So he's been listening since the beginning. I catched your new NFL segment during our discussing picks and became a little giddy. It meshes 100% with a new product we're about to launch called Odd Streak. In a nutshell, it uses statistical analysis to calculate the probability of various outcomes. Needless to say, this works wonders for betting and betting pools. So this would be good for our sports thing.
Yeah.
He says their Kickstarter is going live in a week. There's a big countdown up at oddstreak.com. That's oddstreak.com. And anyway, they have a little video explaining what it is. You can find all that stuff linked, and you should check it out. Stan, we're very interested in this. And when it goes live, maybe we'll have you on to chat about it because I want to see. I'm very interested in what this means for, like, sports betting and, you know, if it will help improve my chances because I suck at this. So anyway, let us know. It's Stan, everybody. Nice
job. Cool. I can't wait to figure out how that all works. I'm interested.
Oddstreak.com. Check it out today. That's going to do it, everybody. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Frogpants.com/TMS. We'll find all the links to everything you'd ever need for this show. If you're trying to contact us, support us, whatever it is, it's all there. Frogpants.com/TMS. TMS, we're out of here. Tomorrow we'll have Jury, we'll have Bill, and that's what we'll have. And other things. But before we go, though, music for us to end with.
Sure. Well, Jason D said, aloha, Scott and Brian. Brian, ooh. Scott, Scott, Brian. Mm. Did I ever tell you? No, I'm not going to do that voice. But he says, did I ever tell you about the time I married a girl named Nova? I haven't. Well, it was September 25th, 2016. It was a beautiful fall day, but not as beautiful as Nova. It was a small ceremony, just close family. To make a long story short, she said, I do. The song we played for our first dance was Someone to Watch Over Me by Sting. If you could play it for us, that would be greatly appreciated. We are heading to Hawaii for our honeymoon. The last week has been hell for me, but I thank God I have Nova watching over me. Love the Legacy Podcast Show with Scott and Brian Ibbotson. Mm. Signed, Jason D.
Nice.
So we were going to play this last week, but with technical difficulties, we pushed it to today. But they are in Hawaii right now. They are celebrating their anniversary. You guys are awesome, and we've hung out a lot at Nerdtaculars. Usually I sit and chat with them for a while when we're having drinks in the opening reception deal.
Mm.
Yeah, and and we found out that Nova went to the Colorado Institute of Art the same time I did, and we knew the same people, but I don't think we ever had a class together, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Anyway, they want to hear Someone to Watch Over Me, originally by George Gershwin, covered here beautifully by Sting. You'll find this on an album, a compilation that Sting put together. Well, you'll find it on, I think, the soundtrack to the Tom Berenger, Mimi Rogers film, Someone to Watch Over Me. But better off just picking up Sting's album at the movies, where you get all the songs he's done for soundtracks. Far better deal.
Nice.
Came out in 2002. Here's Sting and Someone to Watch Over Me.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and you shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain girl I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found her yet. She's the big affair I cannot forget. Only girl I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add her initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherdess? Somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that she turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the I know I could always be good to one who watch for me. Although I may not be the man some girls think of as handsome, to her heart I'll carry the key. Won't you tell her please to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone who'll watch. Somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that she turns out to be someone to watch.
please to put on some speed. Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Mike Litteris.